There are a variety of reasons to make someone dislike you. Taking their spouse, stealing something from them, or even eating the food that they've been waiting on all day are just a few examples. There are some individuals who you just don't want to anger. There's no telling how far some people will go to get back at you. Let's take a look and see what happens to this individual who was accused of taking someone else's paint. Yes, their paint. I'm your host, MC, and this is episode 17 of the MC Hard Podcast. It's hard for me to tell this because it has only been a year since it stopped. It started in 2014, and it happened in my home country of Sweden when I went to an art school for a summer course as a form of daily activity. The people at this art school were some of the worst people I have ever met, and that included me because I was kind of trash back then too. I was 21 years old and had little experience of the real world. I had gone 2 extra years of school because I switched majors and took an extra year, so I was literally on my first year of independence. I also have a slight form of autism and didn't receive schooling until I was 12, which made me a bit more slowly developed mentally during high school. I'm all caught up now though. Basically, I was a 21-year-old with very little experience in life. The people I met at the art school were not, let's say, the highest of achievers. They were some of the most mean and most terrible people I have ever met. They treated each other and me awfully, as well as the teachers. But I was quite the little turd too. In fact, I feel like being around those people also made me worse. What started the stalking was an incident involving acrylic paint. It was going to be thrown away, so some of us took some of the paint so it wouldn't go to waste. And I finally took the remaining paint. That's when she showed up. Her name was Anna. And this is how she introduced herself. My art teacher was pushing these big tables on a trolley through the narrow passageway of the art hall. And Anna, dressed in expensive designer clothes, stood in her way. So my art teacher, not fearing anything, screams, "Move it!" Anna snaps towards her with this crazy look in her eyes and shouts,
"Excuse me? Do you know who I am? I am a famous woman."
My art teacher, not impressed, responds with, "Okay, famous woman, move it." That was how we learned of Anna, the famous artist. She then proceeded to have all the terrible people of my class schmooze over her and treat her like a celebrity. But her real reason for being there was because of her paint. So the great hunt began. I was roped into it, and my initial plan was to just give her back her paint so she could be off. Except during the hunt, I got those terrifying red flags. She kept sniffing the paint of other people to see if any were hers. Apparently, she had poured some kind of oil into the paint so she could sniff her way to where they were. During the hunt, she admitted that she had been put into treatment for the criminally insane because she had stalked a previous schoolmate that she thought had stolen paint from her. She even showed a CCTV video of her old schoolmate pulling a suitcase behind her, saying that's where she had put the paint that she stole. I asked her how she got the video, and she said that her dad had connections with the local government, which had gotten the video from one of the local government's cameras, which is illegal for a layman to get access to. During this time, she even showed me the court document, which she had saved as a PDF on her phone. During this time, she also admitted that she had been sending messages to a famous artist in Arebo because a voice from heaven told her to do it and that he was destined to help her with her career. Anna also thought that staring wide-eyed made her more attractive, like the kind of stare where you can't see any of the eyelids at all. So while she was saying all this, she had this crazy-eyed look on her face. I was terrified of her and couldn't figure out a way of handing back the paint, so she ended up threatening to have the principal fired if she couldn't search every room for the paint. And when she did find all of her paint, she put it in one of the school's rooms and said that she would pick it up when she wanted to. She said that she would come every year during the art exhibit to check if her paint was still there, and that she would sue the school if she found it missing. What a crazy person. End of story, right? Oh, how I wish. About 2 years later, I enrolled in a one-year basic art program at the school. I had completely forgotten about this crazy person. At one point, we were cleaning out the art rooms and her paint was brought up again, and it would again be thrown away. Me, not remembering that crazy, famous artist, took a nice crimson bottle for myself, while others took some of the not ruined color for themselves. Open acrylics go bad after a while. Then, as we all tried to continue with our lives, the crazy lady one day returned and started sniffing all the color. I didn't recognize her at all and had forgotten about how dangerously deranged she was. I had even forgotten that I had gotten the crimson color from her paint. So when she started interrogating me for why the paint smelled like hers, I didn't know what to say. She also smelled her paint at some other girl's table and was harassing her as well. Thinking that this was all more fuss than it was worth, I threw away the crimson paint since it had started to cut from age anyway, and that is when everything went to hell, and crazy-eyed Anna became my stalker. When she had found out that I had thrown away the paint, she became convinced that I had re-enrolled at the art school specifically to steal her paint. She started convincing a bunch of gullible, and to be honest, low-achieving people, that this was true. And I started being harassed. It started with a physical attack. I was painting alone in the evening, minding my own business, when this huge brute ran into me, tackled me to the floor, and hit and kicked me. While this was happening, crazy-eyed Anna was fake crying in the corner, but I could see on the floor how she went from fake crying into gleefully smiling as I was being kicked and hit. Another girl she had recruited picked up and smashed my phone, breaking it. As the guy stormed off and the second girl followed, I stumbled onto my feet and asked Anna why she had done this. The answer she gave me made me realize what kind of person she was.
"So you would know that I can hurt you if I want."
That is the answer she gave me. I later asked the brute why he had attacked me. I hate people who steal. This guy is training now to become an art teacher. I fear for those children. I had bruised my ribs, but were not allowed to go to the hospital because the principal didn't want to get involved. And since my phone was broken, I couldn't call for an ambulance. So it took so long to get to the hospital that the outside signs of the abuse had healed. During this time, crazy-eyed Anna started wearing a crimson jacket wherever she went. I asked her why she was wearing it, and also said she looked pretty, thinking that talking nicely to her would start a friendly conversation to maybe smooth everything over. Well, Anna is not like the normal person and does not think like normal people.
"I want you to think of me every time you see this color."
She then added,
"I am more beautiful than you will ever be."
Wherever she went, she had a horde of schmoozers all around her, all thinking she was some kind of famous and fancy artist. But eventually, she had to leave the school, and I thought that I had peace. Except she one day suddenly showed up and gleefully presented me with the school's Russian exchange student. This student had been sitting at my table every day for weeks, and I hadn't paid it any mind because, well, why would I? She was allowed to sit there. But this is when crazy-eyed Anna drops the bombshell that this exchange student was A, not a real exchange student, and B, she had been putting her phone on the table each mealtime while having it on speaker with Anna on the other end, silently listening in on my conversations. I remember that when she first told me this, how I didn't believe it. I didn't believe, and a part of me still had a hard time realizing the lengths this woman was going to were real. But it was what she said next that terrified me most. She said,
"I know about the secret messages behind your words. I know what you are up to. And I heard a voice from above that told me that it was my mission in life to keep an eye on you and to make sure you behave."
The abuse at school escalated quickly after this. I was harassed and cornered in every classroom and chased around school, and at the same time, I got no help. It escalated into a happening one late weekend night. I was sitting in the school's texture room when a guy suddenly burst in and started running towards me, screaming, "What makes you think you can sit here?" He didn't even go to this school. I jumped out of the window and started running towards my dorm and managed to call 112 in the meantime. It is the emergency number for Sweden. I managed to scream out that I needed help and where I was. I ran towards my dorm, but another guy was waiting for me there, so I ran towards the head building, but a third guy was waiting there. They cornered me, and I remember how scared I was. I thought that I was going to die. But then, a light of hope. Blue and red lights from the road. I was saved. I remember how happy I was to see that police officer. Everything would finally be over. And then, he walked up to the girl who orchestrated all of it, Malin, and he greeted her like a friend. And at that point, I knew. I knew at that moment that he wouldn't save me. I screamed for help, and he ignored me. She told him that there was no issue here. He said he was looking forward to seeing her around town. And then, he left me. He just drove away. The last thing I remember is the back lights of that police car driving away. I wake up the next morning, laying on the ground with a huge bump on the side of my head. I don't know what happened. Malin claims they never touched me, that I just passed out when one of the guys grabbed me. I know better. I know the pain I felt and the huge bump on the side of my head. I called 112 and I called for an ambulance. At this time, because of the abuse, I had memory loss and couldn't quite tell the lady what the issue was. But I made a mistake. I told her that I had called 112 the day after and that a police officer just left me. And she got mad. Really, really mad. She told me that I was slandering her coworker and to only call if I actually needed help. And then she hung up. I was alone again, with no one, not a single person on my side. I tried to make a police report against Anna and Malin, but the officer had heard about me and deleted my report. It was during this time that I had had enough and thought about ending my own life, so I was forcefully put in a mental health ward, and the stalking didn't stop. Crazy-eyed Anna had a friend of hers be committed so she could come into the ward as a visitor in order to harass me. When I tried to go to art school again, she had people she had threatened join the same program so they could keep an eye on me. At home, she would have another guy she had threatened to park outside my house a few times a week in order to scare me. During this, she would also have things stolen from me, things like shoes, gloves, and the like. And according to the people doing the stealing, this was because she had watched a movie where someone steals items and then puts them back to make someone go insane from the harassment. Crazy-eyed Anna would call me a few times a year, lying about being a data collector to get private information out of me. Something that took a few years to even catch on to. Because she lived in a big city far away at the time, she constantly forced others to do the stalking for her sake. Most of them had at one point given drugs to and then would get them to do what she wanted by threatening to report them to the police if they wouldn't. Others she just bribed with money or charm. I have gone for hour-long bus rides where someone admits to being there for her sake. Most people are afraid of her because she won't leave them alone, and she would do to them what she does to me if they don't say yes to her. One girl was roped into standing all dressed in red outside my supermarket. Another girl was also roped into sitting with her car outside my house for hours a few days a week, all because of the fear of this woman. I learned from a cousin of hers that she affords all of this because she won an art prize for $500,000 SEK at one point, is why she thinks she is famous. I also learned that most of her biological family has cut contact with her because she has been doing this since she was a teenager. And yet, even with that information, no one would listen. When I tell people what she had done to me, people call me the crazy one. I have no history of delusions or of making up telltales, yet it was so much easier for people to just think that I'm crazy. I have been forcefully medicated at some points with psychosis medication that baffled doctors lamented over not working. Not even my family believes me, something that has forever barred how much trust I can put into the relationship between us. I asked her once why she was doing all of this, and she said,
"To punish you."
I asked her for how long I would need to be punished, and she answered,
"For as long as I want."
At one point, I even considered killing her. I'm the kind of person who catches flies alive in a cup and let them out the window. I have never harmed another human being. I have never been violent. Yet at one point, felt so desperate for freedom that I would take prison rather than being haunted by crazy-eyed Anna anymore. I was more afraid of her than of prison. Then, it stopped. It just stopped. Still, a year later, I don't know why it stopped. Nothing in her history tells me that she would stop willingly, so I'm convinced that either she has run out of people to threaten into doing her bidding, or something has happened to her. It's possible that one of those people finally reported her and actually got taken seriously. I don't know. Even so, I can't feel relief. Not yet. I'm still afraid that it will start again, and I have given up all hope of being taken seriously by the police. If you or anyone you know have a horror story that you'd like to be narrated on here, please fill out the form that's linked in the description below. There are also links to the music used, as well as if you want to submit some feedback to help improve your listening experience. My friends, horror is all around us. We just try our best to avoid it. Once again, I'm your host, MC, signing out. Thanks for taking the time to check out the MC Horror Podcast. Have a great night.